listening to Cruising the Blues with me, your host, Mr. Jack. I'll be your chauffeur and guide as we cruise through the highway and various regions of the blues on our ultimate blues tour. I hope within the next hour and in subsequent shows I can introduce you to the blues in its many forms. We'll take a musical road trip and cruise the many waters of the blues from the early 20th century through its evolution to today and where it's headed tomorrow. So join me this next hour as we start cruising the blues. Fasten your seatbelts. Here we go.
Yeah, you got me licking gravy, baby.
Don't say you love me when you just don't know. Don't break my heart with that, maybe so. Give me that hate, don't give me that hold. You ain't gonna love me, then just tell me so. Hey! Think you won't. Don't say you do when you know you don't. Don't give me that hate. Don't give me that hope. Don't give me that maybe when your heart says no. Love me, baby.
Love me, baby.
Oh, let the truth be told.
Let the truth be told.
You make me crazy.
Crazy.
With all that maybe hey and that maybe how. I bet you to run, but you won't even show. Just tell me so. Don't give me that hey. Don't give me that ho. Don't give me that maybe when your heart said no. Hey.
Cut off the latest release from Taz Crew album Simmered and Stewed, entitled Dat Maybe. Today our blues road trip is taking us to upstate New York to pay a visit to one of today's most diversified blues artists. Taz Crew performs in a wide variety of formats, ranging from an intimate solo acoustic show to a seven-piece band in the studio playing everything from high-energy blues that can make your backbone slip to a smooth, soothing instrumental that can mesmerize you like the cool swaying breeze in a hot summer day where you just want to stop and get lost in that moment and feeling. I had the privilege to talk with Taz Crew in a one-hour phone conversation in regards to his latest album, his blues education programs, the blues today, and other topics that will give you a little insight not only into Taz, but into the blues scene today. Let's get into this conversation I had with this artist. Today I have the privilege to talk with blues musician, songwriter, and also educator, Taz Crew. Welcome to the show, Taz.
Thanks. I'm so glad to have a chance to talk to you.
Yeah, excellent. I've been listening to your music for years now, and I've always wanted to catch a live show of yours, which I finally did at the 2017 Fargo Winter Blues Fest in Fargo, North Dakota. And to be honest, with your diversities of styles, I had no idea what I was in for or what I was going to hear. I knew it would be great, but I wasn't sure. And I was actually captivated by your band's performance.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. That's, it's a stripped down band. It's just, that one is, for touring. I wish I could take everyone that performs on my studio albums out with me, but, you know, sure. Economics of the situation prevent that. So
right.
Thanks. I'm really glad that we were able to pull that off and make it all feel good for everybody there. It was a great event.
Yeah, it had a great flow. And X, talking about studio albums, we're going to get into your new album, latest album, actually, Simmered and Stewed, here pretty soon. Let me go back, though, a little bit. So when and how did your passion for the blues start, and what captivated you with the blues to stay in that genre of music for all these years?
Well, I can't say that I stayed exactly in it all these years.
Okay.
I mean, the story begins a long time ago with an uncle that used to play blues records when I was a kid. I didn't really know that was blues when I was hearing it. It's just
sure.
Music that he liked. I didn't really associate it as blues. Then when I got older, I started playing guitar and with bands. I played with these guys down the street from me whose parents were musicians, and they at the time were still playing the Sun Records kind of stuff that they heard when they were in their youth. So
oh, yeah.
this is in the late 60s. They're still playing the Sun Records stuff, and that hit me as, man, this sounds familiar. You know, I mean, it had the blues stuff to it, you know, and of course it does.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Of course that was all at the same time that the British blues invasion, if
mm-hmm.
you will, not the mop top invasion.
Gotcha.
The John Mayall influence and all that of some of the great bands, you know, of his Blues Breakers bands and
yes.
Cream and all that, and the Rolling Stones and the Beatles to some extent.
Sure.
You know, I was hearing the blues in that music too. And I'd always been kind of drawn back to it, and I think it goes back to that early exposure from my uncle who played those records for me.
Wow.
You know, I didn't, like I said, with him, I didn't know that it was necessarily blues. I just knew that he and I were having a good time. We'd sit around, and I was like, you know, 10 years old, and he'd play these records, and we'd sit around, he and I would play cards and
oh, that's great.
Cavort like that while he played these records. He was a single guy, and
okay.
He lived next door to in a house that my parents owned next door to mine. So I used to go over there and hang around with them quite a bit.
Wow.
I think where it came from, and I've always been drawn to, you know, blues roots things, even when I was playing in rock and roll bands, you know, in my cover bands in my early days, you know.
Sure.
I was always drawn, and I was the one that would always have to sing that stuff because it seemed to fit what I could do.
Oh, yeah.
So, and when I started getting serious about writing, by then, I rediscovered another passion for the blues. There was several records that were coming out where blues artists, compilation records, were covering rock songs.
Oh.
And they were basically blues interpretations of classic rock songs.
Ah.
And it just blew me away. It's just like, my God, this is how these songs were meant to be played. You know, I'm talking about, you know, Gate Mouth Brown doing the Stones' Ventilator Blues. I talk about, you know, Larry McRae doing Can't Always Get What You Want in a just really funked up blues version. It's just killer.
Wow.
And
wow.
That was probably the turning point that brought me totally back to blues, and I never walked away from that.
Well, that's
since.
That's great. I teach students as well, and I try to tell them that, you know, I'm actually out of the 70s, and the music I was listening to was blues based, you know, and I try to explain to my students that the stuff even they're listening to today, a lot of it has blues roots to it, you know. I mean, I was listening to Zeppelin and Black Sabbath and the Stones and that kind of thing, and basically a lot
right.
in early years there, that's what they were playing was blues, and I didn't know what it was until later on. But so I understand what you're saying about how you kind of
yeah.
discovered it. Yeah, that's
yeah. I knew what it was, but only because I had that foundation with my uncle, and then from what I heard from my friend's parents and the Sun Records stuff that they played, I knew that.
Okay,
took me a few years to put it together.
Let's get back into Taz Crew's new album, Simmer and Stewed, with a couple of numbers entitled Feeling I'm Falling and Road to My Obsession. Taz Crew, on Cruisin' the Blues with Mr. Jack today.
I'm falling. With all the brown shadows. all. She's a lonesome road about any time of day. But 200 miles to go. Brother, that's some dues to pay. I'll play them blues.
I'll play them blues.
Anytime, most anywhere. Just about everywhere.
Just about everywhere.
Spent some time down the Clarksdale way. Meet my friends in Arkansas. I told my stories to the people living behind that levee wall. Now one of them had to ask me, well, the blues is who I am. You gotta know how much wood an old woodchuck chuck. I guess you don't understand. I'll play them blues.
I'll play them blues.
Anytime, most anywhere.
About education, you know, one of the reasons I do this show is to educate the general public as to what the blues is and kind of doing my little part to keep the blues alive. And you do the same with your blues education programs, and were even honored with the Keeping the Blues Alive Award in 2014. So tell me about what you do in this area of blues education.
Well, it's quite various. Sometimes it's just a very basic introductory program to a large group of kids at a school or a Boys and Girls Club or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much the most that they get out of that is, I heard this guy, he played this music, it's called blues. He said it was American music, and I really like it. That's about all you can get out of it. That's a very good start, though.
Yeah, sure.
But in some cases where I work with music students, then I can actually get in to the history of the music, but also the elements of the music, of how it's played, what its musical ideas are, and how that plays into improvisational music that they encounter. For music students, that would be in schools, mostly jazz music, that
sure.
link there.
Yeah.
For older general music students, I can also quickly make links to the pop improvisational music that they listen to today, and they see that.
Sure.
So there's that. And sometimes it's very, very specific workshops on songwriting, sometimes not with just kids but with adults. Sometimes it's very specific workshops on slide guitar techniques or something like that.
Okay, but sometimes specific things, okay. Yeah.
But sometimes the blues is a way into helping them with something else, like
gotcha.
Linking it to like a writing program or something like that.
Right.
You know.
I saw in an interview you said a couple of years ago you were talking with a gentleman, and I like what you said, that if the kids want to learn music, they can learn that in school, but if they want to learn how to be a musician, that's basically what you're trying to teach them as well, how to perform, how to write, and so forth. Am I on the right path here as to what?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it definitely takes more than one, you know, encounter and interaction with those students for them to begin to see that. But that's my whole thing. It's like, you know, do you want to be a musician or just do you want to know a lot about music?
I mean, yeah, right.
It's nice. Right. It's nice that there's. I mean, you can do both.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And if you don't do both, then you're shortchanging yourself. You know, I mean, just look at the number of people, and perhaps some of your listeners could attest to this, that took an instrument in school and played it all the way through high school and were in their band and that, and they haven't touched the instrument in 15 years, and they wouldn't know what to do if they did.
Yeah.
That they were competent in their time, you know.
Right.
But, you know, they didn't become musicians. You know, you got to, part of it, you got to acquire. And there are some people, I swear to God, that become musicians who never learn to play an instrument whatsoever.
Wow.
They just have a feeling for the music and understand it in a way, maybe not technically, but in a way that clearly defines who they are.
Yeah, that's right. Let's talk about, okay, so you work with young people or maybe people of all ages in your workshops. Let's say, you know, we're doing a short radio program, so if there was something, a couple of words of advice you could give for aspiring musicians I've got students that just have a passion for music, okay? I mean, they don't even want to take sports, you know, because music is their thing, which I, as a mentor, I really appreciate. Nothing
right.
wrong with sports, but, and, you know, I just, you know, I'm a musician, so that's my passion as well. Anyway, so you got any, I don't know if it's advice or just words of, words from a teacher yourself that you could give to these aspiring musicians?
Well, my advice is going to relate to performing in primarily the blues world. And I would say mm-hmm. any aspiring young blues musician, the first thing I would say to them is learn to sing.
Mm.
You can sing. All you got to do is listen around, and you'll find a lot of people that you're going, how did they learn to sing? 'Cause they're not really that great. You can sing. If you can hear an instrument being played, if you can play an instrument, there's no reason you can't sing. I've just seen so many, especially young guitar players, that concentrate on so much on trying to emulate, you know, whoever their guitar hero of the day is. For the last few decades, it's been Stevie Ray Vaughan for sure.
Yeah.
Who emulate that, but they don't sing, and that's crazy. You've got to learn to sing. Otherwise, you're a slave to whatever singer you decide you need to work with.
Cover My Love from Taz Crew. And that was off his latest released album, Simmered and Stewed. This is Mr. Jack. We'll have more with Taz Crew in just a moment.